Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, Jesus said in today's gospel. That doesn't look like the world we're living in right now, a world filled with peace. But as he said, not as the world gives do I give to you. Jesus' peace is not the world's idea of peace, just as Jesus' fire is not the idea that the world has of fire. At the beginning of Holy Week, Jesus said this, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is finished. Well, we've certainly seen fire kindled in our country in the past few days. Our cities are burning with an unholy fire. Burning with fire, literally. Burning with anger and rage. Burning with hatred and rebellion and violence. That's not the fire Jesus came to send. We've seen the fire of disease spreading through the world, and the fire of injustice, and the fire of tyranny, and the fire of persecution. But that's not the fire Jesus came to send either. Those are unholy fires. Fires that flow from sin and are fanned by the devil until they destroy our human race. Jesus, on the other hand, came to send a fire that he was eager to see kindled. A holy fire that would blaze after his own baptism was accomplished, his baptism in blood. His own blood, which he would shed as payment for all the sins of the world, so that all sinners, any sinner from the beginning of the world until its end, of any color, of any race, can plead the blood of Christ before the throne of God and be saved. As of Good Friday, that baptism was finished. As of the third day, Easter Sunday, Christ rose from the dead. And as of the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Christ's resurrection, the fire Jesus was so eager to send on the earth was finally sent. The holy fire of the Holy Spirit. It was a different kind of fire, of course, not the kind that burns up forests and buildings and cars, but the kind that burns through the human heart, convicting of sin and kindling faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, where and when it pleases the Spirit of God. That fire has now been sent and kindled in every corner of the earth. But just as a wildfire that covers thousands of acres grows from one small fire in one place, so the holy fire of the Holy Spirit began as a small fire kindled in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost that we Christians celebrate wasn't the first Pentecost. Pentecost means 50th, and it refers to the 50th day, or the 7 weeks plus one day after the beginning of Passover, which is why it's called also the Feast of Weeks. Since the days of Moses, the people of Israel were required by God to come to God's temple in Jerusalem 3 times a year, for Passover, for the Feast of Weeks, and for the Feast of Tabernacles. Just as the sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God, changed the significance of Passover forever, so the coming of the Holy Spirit changed the significance of Pentecost forever. It used to be celebrated as a harvest festival, and in celebration of the giving of the law by Moses on Mount Sinai, 50 days after the first Passover. Now it's celebrated by Christians for the harvest of souls that began 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, and in celebration of the giving of the gospel of Christ, who has fulfilled the law of Moses given at Sinai. Let's consider first the three miraculous signs that occurred on the day of Pentecost. The disciples of Jesus were all gathered together in the same place in Jerusalem, where Jesus had told them to wait until the promise of the Father should come. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Remember, the word for spirit in Greek and Hebrew is related to the word for wind. Jesus had promised to send his Holy Spirit from heaven, and now comes this sound of a mighty rushing wind. The sign for the disciples was clear. This is it, what Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit. Because they couldn't see him, but they could hear the sign. But there was no destruction involved with this mighty rushing wind, as we often see in parts of our country and parts of New Mexico. No visible movement at all, just the sound of the wind. So the Spirit too would blow like the wind through the world mightily, but not visibly, audibly, through the preaching of the gospel. The second sign, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Well, here is the fire Jesus promised to send. And it's just like Jesus to send it in this way. He speaks of fire, and immediately men imagine some spectacular wildfire burning through the earth, or maybe fireballs coming down from heaven. And there will be that kind of fire destroying the world on the day of judgment. But on the day of Pentecost, the fire was only visible for a moment, and it wasn't a raging fire, not a scary fire, not a fire to destroy Jerusalem for having crucified the Christ, but a fire that looked like tongues, hovering over the heads of Jesus' own disciples. This was a sign that the Spirit of God would fill the speech, the tongues of Jesus' disciples, and would work mightily through the word they would proclaim. Like a fire spreads through the earth, so the Holy Spirit would go through the earth in connection with the preaching of the word of God. As God once said through the prophet Jeremiah, "Is not my word like fire?" Always working through the word, the Spirit would convict the world of sin and would kindle faith throughout the earth. Then the third sign, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The disciples were suddenly able to speak in tongues, in foreign languages they had never learned before. In fact, they probably didn't even understand the words that they themselves were saying. But the crowds of Jerusalem did, as they heard. The crowds of Jerusalem were attracted by all the commotion in this house where the disciples were, and the crowds who were visiting Jerusalem for the Feast of Weeks came from all the foreign countries in that part of the world, and heard here the wonderful works of God being proclaimed in their own native tongues. And so God's Spirit confirmed the word Jesus had already spoken to his disciples: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and make disciples of all nations. But you will receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The gospel has always been intended for all peoples, all races, all nations to hear and believe and enter together on equal footing into Christ's holy church. Now, we've talked about the signs of Pentecost and their meaning. Let's consider for a moment the ongoing meaning of the Holy Spirit's coming. The word of Christ has gone out from Jerusalem, just as the Old Testament prophets had prophesied that it would. No longer are people directed to seek God in Jerusalem's temple. Now God, the Holy Spirit, has gone out from Jerusalem seeking to build a holy temple from God, God's holy church, in every place, even turning human hearts into temples of God, as Paul writes to the church in Corinth, "Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God?" See what the Holy Spirit has done. You don't see the Spirit of God just as you don't see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind after it's done blowing. And so you also see the effects of the Holy Spirit. You see His works, His effects on the world. We call the Spirit's work in general sanctification. That is the act of sanctifying or setting people apart for God as holy people, as saints. And there are two parts to sanctification that we talk about. We talk about sanctification as the beginning part, regeneration. And we also speak about it in its ongoing part of renewal. Regeneration means causing a person to be born again. It's what the Spirit does through preaching and through baptism as He convicts people of sin and brings them to faith in Christ. Regeneration is how the Holy Spirit brings people into the holy, Catholic, apostolic, Christian church. Some 3,000 people were regenerated on the day of Pentecost, and that work has been continuing ever since. These times in which we now live are not the mass expansion days of the church that the Holy Spirit is building. They are not the brightly blazing fire days of the church either. We live in the glowing embers day of the church, the last days, where the church of Christ seems like it could be snuffed out with a tiny puff of air. And yet, see how the Word of God is still being proclaimed in various places, how sinners, one by one, like you and me, are still being converted from unbelief to faith, still being baptized, still coming into the church, still being changed from hating Christ to loving Christ. Here too, in this place, the wonderful works of God are now being proclaimed in our midst because the Spirit's fire has spread here also and has caused us to be born again. The Spirit's work of regeneration is also called justification, or the forgiveness of sins. And it's something He will continue to do until Christ returns, whether on a grand scale or on a miniature scale, bringing more people into the church by giving them a new spiritual birth. This is the holy fire that the Holy Spirit spreads. The other part of sanctification is called renewal. As Jesus said in the gospel, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make a home with him." First, the Spirit regenerates a person and brings him to love and trust in Jesus. Then the Spirit continually works on the reborn so that we keep the word of Jesus. He sustains us in faith. He increases our love for God and for our neighbor. He sets us apart from the sinful world, brings us the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Sacrament for the forgiveness of sins, strengthens, guides, and molds us into the image of Christ. And he does all this work of renewal, as the signs of Pentecost teach us, through tongues, through the preaching of the Word of God, through the means of grace. Do you wonder what makes Christians ready to be burned alive or beheaded rather than to deny Christ? Do you wonder what makes Christians ready and willing to accept heavy fines or to lose their friends or to lose their jobs or to go to jail rather than renounce Christ and His truth? Do you wonder what makes Christians willing to show love to their enemies and to their friends alike? Do you wonder what makes Christians able to endure hardships and suffering with patience and even with joy? Do you wonder what makes Christians able to face sickness and death with confidence? It's all the work of God's Holy Spirit in us, sanctifying us, renewing us, and keeping us with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. This too is the holy fire that the Holy Spirit spreads. And so on this festival of Pentecost, we give thanks to God for the invaluable, fire-spreading, life-giving work of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that the Spirit of God would make us wise to understand the word of Christ, would make us bold to confess the name of Christ, would make us eager to walk in love every day, no matter how much hatred and unholy fire surrounds us, until Christ comes again to save His holy people from this unholy world. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.